Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Another week of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X. And we are now officially in the month of February as we move through the basketball season. We get closer to the postseason. We get closer to March Madness. Lots of fun ahead. Or maybe the right way to say it, I know we have lots of Indiana fans, obviously, that listen to this show. Maybe it's a month of torture ahead to find out what this Indiana team is going to do. And are they going to be able to find a way to sneak into the NCAA tournament? It's up and down, and sometimes it's a quick up, like a win over Michigan State, which is big stuff, at home, on the road, wherever it may take place. That's a big deal. And then it's some downs, even though in those downs there were at times positives, also a lot of negatives. You look at the Maryland loss after Michigan State, not all that bad. Yes, it was a home loss, but Maryland is good. Indiana fought in that game. Then you look at Penn State, and it's a big, big, big low point in that three-game losing stretch where Indiana just does not play very well. And then against Ohio State, lots to be desired, left to be desired in that game by Indiana as they lose three straight. Very tough week, very jam-packed week of games for the Indiana team. And now, as busy and as hectic and as crazy as last week was for the team, they basically get a week off until they match up with rival Purdue on Saturday afternoon. So you go from basically four games, and I think it was at 8 or 9 days, to one game in 7 or 8 days coming up for this Indiana team. So I would have to believe, obviously, when you're not winning, sometimes you want to keep playing. You want to try to figure the problems out. You want to try to get back on the winning page. But I would have to think that for the coaches and for the players, this is a welcomed opportunity to get a little bit slower of a schedule, and I'm sure to work on things in practice. And again, the good news is Purdue is having lots of struggles. For every struggle that Indiana has had or is having, Purdue's had just as many, if not more, and finds themselves in a much, much deeper hole as far as the Big Ten Conference and the NCAA tournament goes. So Indiana with an opportunity to get back on track. Yes, it's not Purdue of normal. Yes, it's at home for Indiana. Yes, it's a game Indiana basically has to win at this point, being at home and being against a lackluster Purdue team. But it is an opportunity anytime you play your rival to get back on track. So interesting week ahead. Hopefully a little bit slower week for some of those guys that maybe catch up on some studies. But I'm sure, absolutely sure, after Archie Miller's discussed in the press conference on Saturday after the loss, that it'll be a tough week of practice. There will be lots of work on different things, and perhaps maybe he even hinted at some changes that could be forthcoming. There have been a few adjustments and a few different things happen with playing time or roles, whether it's been something temporarily or permanently so far here in the last month or so. It'll be interesting to see, based on his comments and based on the fact that Indiana has some time off this week, to see if they do make any kind of glaring changes to the lineup or to the general rotation of who gets in when and minutes and playing time and things like that. That will be interesting to see. In fact, I think that hearing Archie Miller this week on his coach's show, which we'll have tonight here on the Big X, will be equally interesting as well. Welcome into the show. Glad you're with us. We do this each weekday at 11 o'clock, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective, a little bit about IU to get the show going. We've got lots of high school basketball to talk about as well. Sectionals on the girls' side begin this week. We'll keep a watchful eyes on those. And again, some neat games, some great opportunities ahead for local teams. And I love the fact that the sectionals on the girls' side get started early. First, it's kind of your reminder that we're getting into that postseason time of year. You go from girls to boys to college conference tournaments and, of course, the NCAA tournament as well. But I also like the chance that they have to kind of showcase themselves. Like that first few weeks of the season, I think we all pay a little bit more attention to girls basketball, as we should, and I think that's great for the area that we have, especially with some of the great players and teams and coaches that we have here. And so now they get kind of an opportunity as the boys' regular season moves along to kind of get some focus as they enter sectional week. So we'll keep you posted on that this week. We'll see if we have any local teams that can work their way through brackets this week, which will be fun. But I tell you what, talking about high school basketball, we've got to go back here, and we'll do so here in just a minute. But we got to go back and talk about this weekend. It was an absolute crazy weekend of high school basketball. You know, you could say that entering February, as we get to this month, the last three and a half weeks or so of regular season, yeah, there's some big games, you know, some meaningful games we talk about once you get through the holiday times and the holiday tournaments that matter in conferences, and they matter in rivalries between some of our communities, and obviously in conference standings that are being figured out right now as we get deeper into the season. But this weekend was one that will make you scratch your head, and I mean literally across the board, there are a lot of coaches, I'm sure, from Friday to Saturday, whether it was bad to good or good to bad this weekend, that are scratching their heads about their respective teams and maybe what things look like going forward. So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service each day of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And today, segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's, more on Indiana's loss at Ohio State, more on Indiana's upcoming game against Purdue this weekend, and we'll recap through some of these crazy moments of high school basketball over the weekend in our segment one today, our Zaxby's headlines. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, he's always with me Mondays. Great chance coming out of the weekend to talk lots of IU basketball. We're going to talk, again, that IU-Ohio State game. We're going to talk about Jerome Hunter, who did have a pretty good game and was one of the bright spots in the loss for this Indiana team, and some other things as they move forward to get ready for Purdue. And then later in the show, Chad Gilbert, former coach, currently Charlestown High School's athletic director. He also is an IHSA executive board member and a big basketball guy. He always joins me Monday as we take a look at the area. We're going to talk some girls sectionals. We're going to talk more about the crazy weekend that was in high school basketball, and take a look ahead to the boys postseason as well, as it's not that far away. So Chad Gilbert with lots of hoops talk today when he joins us a little bit later in the show. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $15 off any bone-in ham. Also, buy one, get one free ham bones, all for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Love to get your questions, your comments. You know who our guests are today, Zach and Chad. Maybe you've got a question you want me to ask them. A couple ways you can get it to me on Twitter. You can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me. You can send me a DM on Twitter. The radio show, The Hoosier Report, it also has a Facebook page. On Facebook, just type in The Hoosier Report. You can like the page. You can get podcasts on the show. You can get updates on the show. And also, you can leave us a comment there. You can send us a message there, and perhaps your message will get read on the air today in our Monday program. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. I mentioned how crazy it is in the Big Ten schedule. Archie Miller has been doing some complaining about that schedule if you haven't been listening lately. It's crazy. You go from three games in a week or four games in 8 or 9 days to one game in 7 days. And I guess in a perfect world, you would like to see things balanced out a little bit more where everybody plays just about the same amount of games and the same amount of days. But as a guy that's done scheduling for nothing like college basketball or a conference, scheduling is difficult in sports to make it fair, to make it balanced. And so I think if you look at each Big Ten team's schedule, probably not all, but there are a number of teams where you could find something about their conference schedule that would make you just wonder, what in the world were they thinking, playing this many games in a row on the road or playing this many games in this many days and then having a break of a week before they play again? I think it's probably a pretty common thing if you look across not just the Big Ten but all of college basketball. I've heard a lot of people say, what in the world? You go from game to nothing for 7 days. But again, I think you'll see that there's some similarities here across not just the Big Ten but other conferences as well. One other thing I thought was interesting, Big Ten commissioner, the new Big Ten commissioner, his name is Kevin Warren. We really haven't talked much about him or that new job he's taking over on the program. But I saw last week he was in Bloomington. He's a very interesting guy. Obviously, he's entering the Big Ten boss job with some very ambitious plans. And I found it very interesting that one of his goals is he wants to visit all Big Ten campuses, which there are 14 schools in the Big Ten, and he wants to in person watch all 350 Big Ten varsity level teams compete in the calendar year of 2020. And I guess that the IU trip was either his first or one of his first where he was able to come and obviously catch a basketball game. I'm assuming that he caught some other sports, some other varsity sports while he was on the campus at Big Ten or at Indiana as well. But very interesting guy. Don't know a lot about him. I read a little bit about his background when he got the job, but definitely admire someone coming in wanting to take a full look at the conference from top to bottom. I think that's a very neat way to get some feedback. Kind of held, a town hall type Q&A event in Bloomington. I read a little bit about that. Pretty interesting stuff. So just thought that was noteworthy. New Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren in Bloomington and going to maybe make a lot of trips to Bloomington and other schools, which I think makes a lot of sense to take over the new job. IU Ohio State, disappointing 68-59 loss. Indiana drops to 1-5 in road games this season. And here's an interesting note. As good as Ohio State was projected to be or thought to be at one point, there was a time in December, I think early December maybe, they had just beaten North Carolina, who now we know more about, that they have their own struggles as well. They had just won some other big games, had Ohio State. Early December, they were being called a Final Four team. Maybe they were going to be the leader in the Big Ten instead of Michigan State. There was lots of praise around Ohio State basketball at that point. But in reading one of the Inside the Hall stories after the game on Saturday, the crazy thing is, and this kind of solidifies, even though it's a road loss, it is a tough loss and a game that you would have liked to have seen Indiana win because it was the first victory for Ohio State over a team not named Nebraska or Northwestern since December 21st. First win over a team other than Nebraska or Northwestern since December 21st for Ohio State. Lots of mess-ups for Indiana, lots of areas that were really weak for the Hoosiers. I think a standout, you have to mention, one of the highlights of a bad performance was Jerome Hunter, the redshirt freshman. He was out Wednesday against Penn State. He had kind of been, you know, showing some glimpses of getting more and more back into basketball ability and basketball skill, and then did not play unexpectedly, was ill at Penn State. He did come back in the Ohio State game, played in the game, scored 9 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, played 28 minutes, which is great for him, and very interesting to see him return. As you go through the IU box score, you look at points and Devontae Green with 13 points, Rob Phinisee 11 points. They were both leading the way, but lots of concerns when you look at the plus-minus, which I really started looking at with this team. Devontae Green will score double digits, but he'll sometime be very low in the pluses. He was +7 on Saturday in that contest. And also you look at Rob Phinisee, a -13, despite the fact he had 11 points in that contest on Saturday against Ohio State. So, and then also Trace Jackson-Davis, he did have 7 points, had a handful of rebounds, actually 7 rebounds. So 7.7 rebounds, not a shabby game at all. A couple assists to go with that, and 3 blocks to go with that as well, and 33 minutes played. So he didn't have one of his better games, but it was a very solid game across the board. I do find it interesting that both times Indiana has played Ohio State, Trace has had not bad games, but not the better games. I don't know if it's the way they guard him or the matchups on that team, but neither one of those times in those games have been better games for him so far this season. Let's talk a little high school basketball quickly as we wrap up the Zaxby's headlines for today. I really don't even know where to start. There were so many crazy games and crazy losses and upsets and things over the weekend. I'm sure I'm going to leave something out here as I'm just going off the top of my head. But I think we have to start with the Silver Creek Bloomington South game. First, I was not at the game, but a tremendous crowd and a great environment for that game. And it's clear that Silver Creek is really hopeful, the community of Sellersburg embracing this team, as you love to see local communities do. And they've got, you hope, not just a winner, but obviously this Silver Creek team is going to be a big winner. They already have been, and they will be again this season. But wonderful, wonderful environment for Bloomington South to come down. Silver Creek has really upped that schedule in recent years. In this game, number 1 in 4A Bloomington South, who took over that spot earlier last week, and of course number 1 in 3A Silver Creek, it was really everything that you thought it would be. I could not see a scenario where Silver Creek, Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby weren't ready to play, weren't going to keep that thing close against Bloomington South. Could not see a way that it didn't end in a very, very close final score. Of course, it ended about as close as it possibly can, with Anthony Leal hitting a 3-pointer from deep top of the key at the buzzer to win it for Bloomington South. But a terrific high school basketball game. I saw some of it. I talked to some people that were there. Just a great game between two really good teams that have great opportunities to find success in the postseason. So a loss for Silver Creek, but if there is such thing as a good loss, Saturday's loss to Bloomington South probably was that. It's a great experience for the team. It's got to be a confidence boost, even in the loss, to play with a 4A power like Bloomington South. And at one point, it looked like Silver Creek was going to win the game until the final couple minutes, or maybe the final minute there when Bloomington South tied it up and then had the opportunity to go ahead. But nonetheless, huge game, fun game this weekend, great crowd. Definitely Silver Creek, even in a loss, can take many steps forward from that contest and from the weekend, because they also had no problems with Madison, who could be another or who will be a potential postseason opponent of Silver Creek coming up here later in the month, later in the sectional tournament. Also, this weekend, I guess when it comes to head scratchers, I think you got to start with New Albany, who has been playing better. I was ready to say that New Albany, Floyd, and Jeff are not even in my book, but we're very close to being even as to who could come out of the Seymour sectional, which really is no surprise. It seems like every year the favorite on paper ends up being more of a favorite with a couple others in that same grouping by the time the sectional gets here. I was all ready to declare that for New Albany and for Floyd Central. I think they've earned that. I think their matchups against each other have all shown that they're reasonably close to each other. And then New Albany comes out at home at the Doghouse against a Evansville North team that's played some good competition but has not won many games. They had won 3 games coming into Friday's matchup. New Albany got off to a horrific start. They let Evansville North hang around and build some confidence. Even in the second half, when New Albany took the lead coming out of halftime, still allowed Evansville North to hit some big shots and, again, stay around, keep their team, keep their bench into things. And by the end of the game, they find themselves in a tie ball game, opportunity to tie it or win it at the buzzer. And Evansville North took advantage of the 3-point opportunity from the far right corner to upset New Albany. I really tell you, it's one of the worst losses at home for New Albany at the Doghouse, which is a hard place to win that I can remember in many, many years. That was surprising. Then you see the Jeffersonville-Bedford-North Lawrence game. Not as surprising. Bedford's made some steps forward, a very formidable opponent this year. But with all the talent that Jeffersonville has, they're behind basically the entire game. They make a late push and get beat by 1 point to Bedford, which is very surprising. Floyd Central, they lose to Evansville Wrights, who basically is a one-man band with Christian Lander on Saturday. Did not see that coming. Christian Academy, Bailey Conrad, probably the biggest shot of the weekend. Actually, the biggest shot of the weekend was the dude from Evansville North, but from a player from our area, Bailey Conrad, a big shot to help Christian Academy beat Providence. And, of course, Providence has been playing fantastic basketball. That was a really good game, I understand, as well. So crazy results, crazy scores across the area, and I'm just touching on, again, a very handful of the results from area teams this weekend. But definitely some wins and some losses that make you think about things as we head into the postseason. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we get back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins me. We talk IU basketball, the Ohio State game, Jerome Hunter, Purdue coming up on Saturday, and lots more here on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star always joins me on this day as we talk IU basketball and more in the Big Ten Conference. Zach, it continues to be crazy, and the play of Indiana continues to be up and down and up and down after a great win over Michigan State, after a solid performance against Maryland, even though it was a loss at home. Indiana not very good at Penn State, and equally not very good at Ohio State on Saturday as they lose three straight games heading into the rest of this, or I should say this month of February, in Big Ten Conference play. It wasn't a pretty game for Indiana. There were a number of areas of concern that I think we'll talk about today. I think if you're looking for a bright spot, which I am, to start our conversation, Zach, let's start with Jerome Hunter, who logged 28 minutes, had 9 points after being ill and not playing at all against Penn State. With what that young man has been through health-wise, not playing basketball for essentially a year, I think that's a bright spot, maybe one of the lone bright spots in that game on Saturday for Indiana in the loss to Ohio State.
I think really it probably just kind of another brick in the wall of what feels like a month or so now of Jerome Hunter seeming to find his, you know, I don't know, probably a lot of different things, but court confidence being one of them, you know, sea legs, for lack of a better term. It feels like he's a little bit more explosive off the ground. You know, I remarked to our mutual friend Alex Bozich in shoot around before the Maryland game, he was getting a lot more arc on his shot. I mean, just in the way the ball was coming off of his hands and its arc of travel toward the rim, it wasn't as flat as it had looked before, which I think is typically a sign that he's a shooter is getting his legs into the shot more, that the shot's not all just, you know, sort of shoulders, arms, and wrists, but it's the whole body. And if you're getting more lift as you jump into the shot, then you're getting more more arc on the shot itself. And then, of course, he has that good game against Maryland. I thought he was noticeable in his absence against Penn State. I think I could make you a case that he should maybe, you know, sneak into the starting lineup here at some point soon, just to, if nothing else, for a change of pace. But I think for Indiana, you know, the thing about Jerome Hunter is he makes a lot of different things work. He makes the small ball lineups work. He gives you a third shooting option for a team that when you see what Indiana's running right now, I know a lot of people call it kind of this, it certainly has some blocker mover concepts, but there's also a whole lot of high ball screen with shooters in the corners. And, you know, the problem with that is if you're only playing one guard beyond your lead guard, then you probably don't have a shooter in each corner. You probably just have a shooter in one. And so that kind of throws the balance of your offense off before you can even begin your action. Having Jerome Hunter in one of those corners would potentially make that offense work even better. He's rebounding the ball well. He's still a work in progress defensively, and it's important to remember that he is effectively a freshman, a true freshman. But I think that you can, you know, you can trace all the way back to near the beginning of January, maybe the Northwestern game, certainly the Ohio State game, and kind of point to performances that suggest he's beginning to kind of piece his basketball back together, for lack of a better term, in his own way.
Zach Hosterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest talking IU basketball. You know, the last week and a half have been very hectic for everyone, including yourself, obviously the players, the coaches, and those that cover the team, that travel, that need to be at all the games. And even for fans, it's kind of like, man, games are coming every couple days here, a lot to keep up with. But that said, now Indiana has a break. They don't play until Saturday against rival Purdue. And so, obviously, a little change in pace this week as far as games go. I'm sure that the pressure will stay on with practices. And I think maybe based on some things that Archie Miller said after the game, and maybe just the assumption as well that, hey, there actually is some time to go back and have some decent practices and maybe give the guys a little time to work on school and come back and have some hard workouts. Maybe the assumption, the feeling is there, this could be a week when Indiana works on some changes. This could be a week where Indiana jumbles up the lineup a bit. You mentioned Jerome Hunter as a possible starter just to shake things up. Do you see that this week, or has anything Archie Miller said? I mean, I think he's been pretty poignant that there could be or there need to be some changes in the direction of this team. Could this be the week with time and practice and just the one game on Saturday where we could see maybe, I don't want to say an overhaul, but some changes, some considerable changes with how this team operates?
Yeah, I mean, I think overhaul would be strong. I think it's worth pointing out it's February 3rd. You know, this you can't just change the entire face of your team, your rotations, all those different things. You're too deep into the season. You'd be blowing too much up. I think if you're Archie Miller, it's probably a little bit less about what happens on the floor. You know, around the country, every coach is probably in the mode of starting to tail back practices and starting to, you know, think about how you're managing guys' bodies from a physical perspective. But I think that you can have maybe some more philosophical, maybe is a strong word for it, but some more philosophical type conversations about, you know, fellas, where do you want this season to go? Because we've shown the capacity to be very, very good, particularly at home. You know, we are, you know, clear masters of our own fate when it comes to the NCAA tournament. I understand why IU fans can watch a game like Penn State or Ohio State and say, oh, this team's terrible. But just look at the math, look at the bubble. Like, Indiana's nowhere near in that kind of trouble right now. Not to say they couldn't get there, but they're nowhere near it right now. But if you're Archie Miller, you also say, listen, you know, the way we've played, particularly on the road, can't just be a blip. You know, there are common threads running through every road game that Indiana has played, save Nebraska, since the turn of the year. And the Hoosiers just have not been able to kind of break some of that stuff. And that's not to say that they can have these sort of this sort of soul-searching moment this week, and all of a sudden they're not going to lose another road game the rest of the year. But I think that I think it would be fair of Archie Miller to sit down and be a little bit, you know, a little bit tough love with his team. Maybe not in terms of, oh, go out and do 3-hour practices with tons of sprints and things like that. You know, you still really do have to manage these guys' bodies. And I know that in the moment, it's really easy for fans to say, oh, punish these guys by really making them work for it. But if you do that and you break them and your team falls apart physically in February, then what did you gain? You know, you basically cut off your nose to spite your face. I think more what Indiana needs is just to have a week here, as you said, focus a little bit on school, not have to be thinking about how to balance classes with travel and things like that, be able to ease through, you know, potentially physically certain parts of the week to kind of get healthy again, especially a guy like, for example, Rob Finnessy, who's probably been playing hurt most of the year. But at the same time, have some very sort of serious internal conversations, you know, about kind of where guys want this season to go and what they're willing to do to get it there. Because, you know, the reality for Indiana is a lot of your toughest games are now off the schedule. You don't play Maryland again. You don't play Michigan State again. You don't have to go to Iowa. You do have to go to Illinois, but you only play Illinois once here in the last nine games of the regular season. And then, for whatever it's worth, I know Indiana fans place, you know, virtually zero expectation of the Big Ten tournament. I understand why. But Archie Miller's 3-0 in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And you know, you can get up to Indianapolis, and if you've got a little momentum in there, you'll have some nice crowds and some support there. So it's kind of one of those where it's not crisis, and I will flatly reject anybody who says it is kind of a crisis moment for Indiana's season. But I think it is a moment when Indiana needs to have a long, hard look at itself and, you know, some honest reflection, frankly, about where this team wants this season to go, because I think it's got the capacity to, you know, I wouldn't say go to the Final Four or anything like that potentially, but certainly aim high. It's also got the capacity to just kind of go through the motions the rest of the year, win enough home games to get into the tournament, and then make a short stay of it there and go its own way. And that's, you know, I think that would probably represent a little bit of something of a disappointment at this point.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Yeah, actually, you bring up a point that was on my list of notes here. So much about the Big Ten Conference and the standings and how crazy the conference has been this year. And obviously, it seems like every day, even going back into middle of January, we're talking about the NCAA tournament and where Indiana stands. And that's just the world that we live in as far as preparing for the tournament. That's what everybody wants to get to, wants to be in. And that's obviously the natural point for your mind to wander with each win or with each loss as well. But that said, I haven't really thought much about the Big Ten tournament. But what a wild week that could be if it's anything like what the Big Ten regular season has been like, with so many crazy upsets and different scores, and there have been some drama on and off the court as well. I think I saw the latest Big Ten drama, which there have been some, you know, last week we talked about some suspensions and some other things, DJ Carton stepping away, obviously, for mental health issues, which is important. I think the latest kind of surprising off the court happening was Fran McCaffrey at Iowa getting into it verbally with some Illinois assistants, and he kind of just was frustrated and actually left the handshake line. So nonetheless, it's been a wild year all the way around. So many different storylines, so many wild results and finishes. The Big Ten tournament could be just unbelievable as far as competitive, not knowing exactly who could win it, the number of teams could win it. I think it could be just a very, very fun precursor to the NCAA tournament to kind of get March Madness going.
Well, and I think it could be one where you have a lot of teams that go into it being able to play a little bit looser. You know, I, not that there won't be Big Ten teams on the bubble, but I think you'll also see a higher, because the Big Ten is so much deeper right now than all of these other Power 5 conferences, the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big 12. I mean, I did a little thread right before I left Value City Arena on Saturday just trying to point out to people how terrible the bubble is, and how if you actually go look at where the teams on the bubble currently are compared to where Indiana is from a seeding perspective, from a resume perspective, it's, you know, again, I'm not saying Indiana can't play itself into trouble. It certainly can. But I think that Indiana is one of a number of Big Ten programs that right now is kind of in this weird position where, sure, being a 7th seed and 8th seed is not the most impressive thing in the world, but they're also comfortably ahead of a lot of the teams that would be waiting for them on the bubble, because so few of these Big Ten bubble teams are going to have bad losses because of the depth of the league. And so I think you could wind up having a lot of games in the Big Ten tournament where nobody's really, from an NCAA perspective, got anything to lose. It's much more about how much you can gain. And so that could wind up leading to, you know, a little bit more, I mean, maybe not, but a little bit more kind of open play, a little more risk-taking, a little bit more just sort of like, hey, let's play carefree and not really kind of worry about, you know, we don't have to be super tight. We don't have to worry about whether this is going to cost us, a bid or anything like that. We're in. It's just a matter of how comfortably we can kind of position ourselves once we get in. And so if you're IU, I think that, or if you're, well, frankly, a number of teams, including Indiana, including Iowa, there's still going to be some there. Michigan, Purdue, Wisconsin come to mind, Minnesota maybe. But, teams like Indiana, like Iowa, like Maryland, potentially like Ohio State, with the way it seems like they're recovering their season after that sort of 5 out of 6 slide, I think you're going to have a lot of teams that can just go to Indianapolis playing loose and free. And if that happens, then I think, yeah, you could see some really interesting games, some really interesting results. And then you add to the fact that there's not, there's just not one dominant team in the league right now, either from a results perspective or a personnel perspective. It's not like there's one team that you look at and say, oh my gosh, if they just turn it on, they've got 2 or 3 more big time pieces than anybody else. Everybody's kind of on even footing in that respect. And so you could wind up with some really interesting results as we get into March.
Zach Hosterman, Indianapolis Star, always great stuff. And I've got to get out of here to a commercial break, but if I am seeing right, did you just do a story that came out this morning on Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek and his recruitment?
Kyle did.
Okay. And so I haven't even had time to click on it, but there is a story at IndyStar.com/sports where Kyle, I know, I think he even said that Friday on the show he was working on something on Trey Kaufman. So of interest there for listeners, we just talked a lot earlier in the show about Silver Creek and their game against Bloomington South over the weekend. Zach, as always, thanks for the chat and the great coverage of Indiana for coming on this show. We look forward to it each Monday, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks for having me, as always.
No problem. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us. We'll head to a commercial break. Final segment on this Monday program when we return. It's Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown AD, former coach, and, of course, IHSA executive board member. We're going to talk high school basketball. We're going to talk more about the upcoming girls sectionals, boys sectionals. Some of them are shaping up to be crazy with some of the results coming in here in the last few weeks. We'll talk about all that more. Stay with us. A Monday edition of the Hoosier Report continues after this right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, former coach in the area, and IHSA executive board member. He joins me on Monday, so it's a great time to kind of recap what happened over the weekend. And, Chad, this was a crazy weekend. I highlighted some of it earlier in the show of high school basketball. There were some crazy upsets, crazy scores. And just when you think you get to the part of the season where you should know what's going on and be able to have a handle on things, there were some results this weekend that just really did not add up.
No, man, and that makes for, I think one thing that you can attribute to that is this is the time of the year where it's kind of get through it, sectionals knocking on the door, Christmas time's over, we're in January, you got 4 weeks here to compete and get ready for sectional. So I think you can have your guard let down right now. The next couple of weeks I think you'll see play look to improve. But if you look at the biggest upsets, it looks like, Evansville North winning at New Albany and Bedford winning at Jeffersonville are two that stand out. And what that just tells me is, one, you got to be ready to play every night, and two, the Seymour sectional is going to be wild. It seems like it's going to be, hate to say up for grabs, but it's hard telling who can knock off anybody on any night up there. We played Seymour, and Kurt Manns is a coach, man. He can coach. And if you catch him on the night, I'd be prepared. And, that's not – take anything away from the other guys in the tournament, but that's someone, that could sneak up on somebody. Jennings County, I think, is playing well. Of course, Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Floyd Central, and Bedford, right there where they can get anybody. So, the draw is going to be big for that, and that's something that everybody's going to keep their guard up, but it makes it exciting for us fans.
Yeah, no question. And, we get – and I love Seymour just in March. It's the place I've always been, but you get caught up thinking from our perspective here where we're located that – okay, Jeff is really good, lots of talent. To start the year, maybe even now, they are still the favorite. I don't know. But Floyd Central, New Albany, they both have had some shining moments. They both have some players that can help lead you to a sectional championship. So you kind of group those three together in some form or fashion as front runners in the field. And, of course, traditionally, those three, especially in recent years, have been right there at the top in one way or another. But you bring up a good point. Seymour is much improved. They've got a long way to go, but Coach Mann's doing a terrific job and has caught the attention of a lot of people in the work he's doing at Seymour, also the AD, but the basketball coach as well. Bedford, lots of changes there, a new coach. I think generally thought that he's got things headed slowly in the right direction, building back toward a Bedford program that we might be familiar of. Then you also mentioned Jennings County. They've been playing better. So what it does, I think it makes every game up there interesting at Seymour. And it there were, for a number of years, were teams in that sectional that just couldn't win a game or could not you could predict. And I think we've lost some of the predictability this year, which for fans and for March Madness is a great thing.
Oh, no question, Matt. And you said the one thing, the feel of Seymour. Just, you know, going to play in there. I went to the Silver Creek and Bloomington South game, which we can touch on next, which was the game of the year, in my opinion. It was an outstanding game. Probably 3,000 in there. My mom and dad are both Silver Creek graduates. My dad said it's the most crowded he's ever seen that gym. And it still did not have that electric Seymour atmosphere, if that makes any sense about it. You know, the atmosphere it had was awesome. It was off the charts, you know, for a regular season game. But it just doesn't have that Seymour atmosphere that – unless you've been part of it, unless you've been to it, it's hard to describe. And that's not to take anything away from that Silver Creek Bloomington South game, because it was electric in that gym, and both teams played outstanding.
No question. Let's talk about Silver Creek and Bloomington South. You call it the game of the year in the regular season. I think it lived up to that hype, and obviously the result was a classic finish, although not in the favor of the Dragons. Lots of positives. I'm sure Coach Hoffman wasn't happy Saturday night. I'm sure that Trey and Cooper and some of those key Dragon players were frustrated with the loss on their home floor, but still lots of positives, I think, that you can take away from a loss like that against the J.R. Holmes Bloomington South team.
Oh, and Bloomington South is very seasoned, very poised. They've been there before. And you got a Mr. Basketball candidate, an Indiana player, and Anthony Leal, who's good. I mean, he's one of those guys, when he shoots, you wonder if, when it misses, you wonder why it didn't go in. And if you think about those guys, you know, he matches, if you think of Jacoby on Silver Creek, Jacoby's a heck of a player, man. Watching those guys go into it, you know, maybe early on I thought Jacoby might be an Indiana State, Missouri Valley type player. The more I watch him, Matt, the more, you know, I think, you know, he might be able to play in some of these guys in the Big Ten. You know, he's got a great body. He's got a great feel for the game. And can do a lot of different stuff. You know, they got a quick guard in Northern who can handle the ball out front. And then the one that I'm just off the charts impressed with, that I think, Matt, is approaching Romeo Waters, is Trey Kaufman. If you look at his stats, I mean, they're off the charts. And he is somebody who is efficient. He's someone who's hard to guard. And he's someone, you know, that makes players better. He has lots of the different things that Romeo had, a lot of the intangibles. Now, will he be a lottery pick? That's yet to be determined. But, you know, has he won a state championship? Yes. Is he putting up big numbers as a junior? Yes. Does Silver Creek have a chance to three-peat? Absolutely. You know, and all that stuff is hard. You know, I'm sure Brandon, he doesn't want to hear that. You know, he doesn't want to hear those breaks. He wants the brakes pumped on those types of things. He wants distractions. He wants his team distractions to go away. He wants his team to get better every day. Now, if I'm Brandon Hoffman, I'm embracing it. I'm Ric Flair. You know, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. And, you know, that's how he's the man. And those guys, I would be more shocked if Silver Creek does not three-peat than if they do. It would shock me more if they don't, if they do. I mean, that's how good those guys are. And, you know, they've got other tools in there that come into play that can do some things on a given night that help those guys win. But, you know, when we're talking about Trey Kaufman a little bit, I think you got to talk McDonald's All-American type guy. And, you know, that may be a bold statement to put him up there with those guys, but that's just how impressed I am with that kid.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question he's on that course. And we all hope he gets there representing our area, but he has been fantastic. And you used a word there that, you know, with some of these superstar-type players, even at the high school level, I think we forget about, and fans probably don't look at this stuff. They look at the points and the dunks and the highlights and the wins and the state championships and the Mr. Basketball, the recruiting, and who's offered scholarships and where they're taking visits. But they really don't – we forget about full stats, you know, looking at the – that tell the real story. And he is an efficient and very efficient ball player, what he's able to get done on the floor for Silver Creek, which kind of underscores how talented – and how good he really is. Chad, final thing I want to cover with you today, give a little love to the girls' basketball scene. Sectionals start this week. Again, it doesn't matter what level it is, what gender it is. When you get into February, when you get into March, and you go to a game, and it's a postseason, one-and-done, elimination, sectional, regional, whatever it may be or beyond, the gym just has a different feeling. They're not all the same. Seymour, in my opinion, is the best, of course, and I'm sure we're going to get hit by some of the small school people or whatever that have their favorite sectional. That's okay. Everybody has a place where they, you know, they that's special to them. But it doesn't matter what sectional you step in, girls, this week. Just a different feel in the gym during those warm-ups, during the bus ride there, during the game, even for everybody involved, fans, parents, coaches, media, everybody. I feel like, at least when it's a one and done scenario.
Oh, it's execute or be executed time of the year. This is the time of year where it's survive in advance. You do what you can do to get to that next game. And we talked about Seymour. I think Charlestown does an excellent job up here. We've got a good feel to our games that we've hosted with girls, that we host the sectional this week. We have a 7-team sectional, which is a little different than what the 6-team sectional is. 7-team sectional, we have one game on Tuesday, two on Wednesday, two on Friday, one on Saturday. And with what we try to do on that, Matt, is we play – that means there's two games where there's one game. So we try to play those games at 7:30 just so teams stay on their routine. And as a coach, I think that's the one thing that you want to do is stay on your routine throughout the season. You've played 22, 23, 24 games to get here. There's not much that wants to change. But as a player, if you're a senior – you know you want to give it all. You want to leave on a positive note. And if you're a sophomore, freshman, or a junior, you want to play everything you got because you don't want that last game for those seniors who have been with you your whole career to let those guys down. You want to send them off on a positive note. So it's a great time of the year. We look forward to hosting the sectional this week, the regional next Saturday. And a lot of, again, you know, in our sectional, there's a lot of competitive teams in here. You know, this our girls' sectional up here is going to be one of the most outstanding ones throughout the state as far as wins and losses goes. And I think it'll be extremely competitive. We'll have a great hospitality room, and I hope you can be here, Matt.
Absolutely. Save me a seat. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, going to be a very busy guy here over the next few weeks with hosting some postseason stuff and a fun chat today. As always, Chad, I'll talk to you very soon.
Man, I appreciate the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up. Have a great Monday. Back with you Tuesday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.